Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Kevin Powell is in the WGN Radio Chicago studios. Hey, Kevin, are you sitting over there?
I'm here, John. Sounds like you guys are having some fun.
Okay, Chicago Bears last night. Did you guys get a chance to see the Bears game last night? Wow. I was able to watch it last night in Spanish in my room. So I believe we won.
Well, they definitely won, John.
Oh, my God, Kev, we dominated. I mean, our quarterback wasn't even on. He was acting like a guy who hadn't played in a few weeks. But that game wasn't even in doubt. It didn't feel like it to me. What were your thoughts about the game?
John, the LA Rams coming into this game had averaged 439 yards of offense per game. They totaled 214 yards. The rushing game for the Rams averaging 139 yards for Todd Gurley, they totaled 52 yards on the ground. Passing, they were averaging over 300 yards per game. They threw for 162. The Bears' defense was absolutely dominating last night. There is no more conversation about who the best defense is in the NFL. The Bears are the best defense in the NFL by a long shot. You just took down probably the best offense in the NFL and made them look completely average and ordinary. It was an incredible scene at Soldier last night, John. I mean, it was bumping. It was so much fun.
I thought, how is it that L.A. is so good? Because, you know, they're West Coast teams, so you watch them sometimes on TV, but we don't see them as much as teams in our division here. And I was unimpressed. I don't think L.A. is that good.
That's the thing. Let's not diminish what the Bears did. The Bears made them look average. You know, I mean, this is a team that was dismantling defenses throughout the entire NFL. So I don't think we can just dismiss this offense and say, well, they're not that good. No, I think the Bears are just that good. I think the defense is that good.
Is this an interesting question? 85 Bears defense, 2018 Bears defense? Is that a conversation?
I mean, obviously, I wasn't around for that season, John, but I'm very aware of what was going on that year. And there were reporters. John, there were reporters in the press box saying, wow, this sort of reminds us of when certain Eric Dickerson came to town back then and the Bears completely dominated the Rams.
Too, don't you think this is, it's not all about Hicks. I mean,
Hicks and Mack, the list goes on and on. Eddie Goldman had the safety. Eddie Jackson had another pick. Kyle Fuller's tied for the league lead in 7 interceptions.
It's not one player.
No, it's just top to bottom. And you got to give Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, I think he probably gets the game ball because they schemed perfectly for this Rams offense. And Coach Matt Nagy, the head coach, outcoached Sean McVay, who's the 32-year-old head coach for the Rams, who everybody talks about, and he's great and all that. I think the Bears game plan much better than the Rams were for this game.
What about our offense, Kevin? What about our offense?
Well, they ran the ball, and they were effective there. Mitch Trubisky did not look good, of course. But, you know, look, he had been out for a few weeks. Who knows the significance of this shoulder injury? He's obviously got to play better. But look, Mitch Trubisky probably had the worst game of the season, maybe of his career, and you still beat an 11-1 L.A. Rams team. I mean, this is a big win for the Chicago Bears organization. Now, John, here's a fun scenario for you, okay?
Ken.
If the Vikings lose tonight, the Bears can clinch Sunday with a win over who? The Green Bay Packers at Soldier Field. How much fun would that be, John?
Oh, okay, are you guys thinking?
So the magic number, I know we hear that a lot about it in baseball, but that's the combination of Vikings losses and Bears wins for the Bears to clinch the NFC North, which would be their first division title in 8 years, John. It feels longer than that.
Do you get a bye then? Right now
the Rams and Saints are the top two seeds. But you would get a home game. The Bears would likely be the. I mean, look, there's still what do we got here? Three games left, and look, there's a shot. I mean, they could sneak into a second seed or top seed in the NFC, but they're likely going to have a home game against a wild card team.
And Chicago looked great on TV last night.
Yeah, it was John Soldier Field. It was just something special last night. I don't think I'm overstating it. Anybody who watched the game or was at Soldier last night, it was a wild scene.
And I do think things line up this way, and people don't think about it, but they feel this. That is, It's so nice to have the Bears doing well. It's nice to have the Wildcats playing on. Are they playing on New Year's Day?
No, New Year's Eve, Holiday Bowl.
New Year's Eve, because the other two winner teams are so terrible. Right
Do we have to talk about that?
The Blackhawks could not be more disappointing, and I don't even want to talk about that. I think what's almost more spectacularly bad are the Bulls and that 56-point loss the other night.
John, you were out of town, I think, but they were like texting about whether to show up to practice yesterday. Was that yesterday?
Did you see that story, John?
I did, and I'm thinking, okay, that is sort of indicative of where the NBA is, right? So they got a new coach, and I don't know if he knows what he's doing. You know, he's cheering on the sidelines and trying to encourage the guys on the bench to cheer the guys on the floor like it's a college or high school team. I don't know if that's going to work or not. But at the end of the day, they're the bosses, they're the coaches, they're the managers, and you have to do what they say. And the players are texting going, yeah, we don't think so. And I just thought that was so strange that the players could execute that kind of, you know, control over whether or not they want to practice after a game, which is what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, well, I'll say this. Among the major four sports leagues, the NBA is the most run, I hope I'm putting this correctly, the most run by the players run the NBA, right? I mean, they navigate the whole landscape. They decide where they want to go, who plays with who. It's a player-driven league more than any of the four major sports.
That's well put.
They had a back-to-back situation, and then Boylan wanted to have a practice on Sunday, which is, according to multiple NBA reporters, that's like unheard of in the NBA.
I know that, but it's also unheard of to lose by 100 points in two games.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, the guys who lost, they didn't play that much that night anyway.
Yeah, so. he benched the starters. They're a mess.
These guys aren't in wheelchairs, right? I mean, so you've got guys that are in their 20s who are in the shape of their lives, and I don't know what they do on their off day, but I don't think it's – think about that. You're a professional basketball player. You're playing terrible. You have a new coach who wants you to get in shape and do things his way, damn it.
Right.
And so he calls for a practice after a couple of games, and that's seen as some sort of grave miscalculation on the coach's part.
Yeah, so just to clarify the story, so Saturday night, the Boylan said, we're practicing Sunday. A lot of the players were like, wait, what? We just had back-to-back. So then they started a group text saying, you know what? Because they couldn't convince Jim Boylan, the new head coach, to not have practice Sunday. So they just all started group texting each other and said, let's just not show up. Let's boycott the organization that pays us millions of dollars to play basketball. And then a couple of players, Lauri Markkanen and Robin Lopez, apparently spoke up and were like, guys, this is a little unprofessional here. We should probably go to our team headquarters.
Especially since we really suck right now. It's
not like we're
doing our end of the bargain. Kevin Powell is in the WGN Radio downtown studios. By the way, Kevin, this is our news click today. Elif, the news click, please.
Beep, beep. Should Harold Baines be in the Hall of Fame? Yes, 71%. No, 29%.
Where are you going to vote on that, Kevin?
I've talked to so many.
You can say no. 29% said no. And Sports Illustrated, some of the national media, are killing poor Harold because he doesn't deserve. So there's that. Ron Kittle was on with us earlier. He's traveling with the group here, and he says, oh, yes, he does.
All right, then I'm with Ron Kittle. I'm not going to disagree with Ron Kittle right here.
What are you, goofy? Yeah, go with that.
We'll go with yes.
You can go to WGNradio.com or like me on Facebook. I'm WGN King John. Our news click is there. Today we're asking if Harold Baines should be in the Hall of Fame. 71 say yes so far here in Chicago on the voice of the White Sox. And Lee Smith, of course, the longtime Cub, and we used to be the Cub station when he was pitching for the Cubs. We didn't ask about that. We could. What would you say about Lee Smith being in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I haven't seen much pushback on that.
I haven't either. It's more about Harold. A lot of his career was as a DH. He never got to 3,000 hits, never got a World Series ring, yada, yada, yada. But he did a lot of things that people in the Hall of Fame are supposed to do. And if, you know, we were talking with Ron about the fact that we understand he played clean, and it gets very difficult because then they said, well, then why isn't Bonds in there? Why isn't McGuire in there, et cetera? Their statistics are better. And then they say, in the Sports Illustrated article, and they would have been better if they hadn't cheated. Well, then they shouldn't have cheated, right? I mean, to me, the performance by those guys who took the drugs is not has no bearing on this conversation, right? You can't compare them because they did cheat. We don't know how they would have done. We don't know how they – that's their life. That's their career. I don't think that's part of this conversation. Are you with me on that, Kevin?
I'm with you. I totally hear you, John. It's among the Hall of Fames in pro sports, I think this is the most sacred is Cooperstown, and people are very, very passionate about this Hall of Fame compared to all the other ones because of the history baseball has in this country. So yeah. I think people get really, really fired up just about every year about who should and should not be in the Hall.
Well, when a nice guy like him gets in with statistics that are close, why all the hate? Let him in, for crying out loud. And as Kittle said, guess what? He is in. So there. All right. We're going to pause for the news.
Kevin, have fun, John. Have a margarita for me.
I will in about, 2:29 in 32 minutes.
There you go. Thanks, John. Yep.